All right, welcome to the Outsiders. Gridley here. Alex, dude, what the hell happened to your Twitter in the last 24 hours? Let's talk about this. Who cares about the news? Like, what the hell happened to your Twitter? Yeah. Like, looks like I know, like, Elon's tweeting at you.
Dude, me and Elon having a full-blown conversation on Twitter about layoffs at Twitter, just discussing how it happened, why it happened. Elon's trying to explain himself in my replies. It's very strange. Was not expecting that when I woke up this morning. I sort of, as always, tweeted a dumb top of mind tweet and then it blew up overnight. So I woke up this morning to like replies and text messages and DMs, and I just had no idea what was going on. And so anyway, what happened today was, you know, someone was laid off about a week ago. The guy, his company had been acquired by Twitter a couple of years ago under Jack, and he was locked out of his computer, had no idea if he was still employed by Twitter or not. So he took to Twitter to say, "Hey, like Elon, am I still employed by your company?" And no reply. And then I think finally Elon replied, and he was like, basically like, what have you been working on for the last, you know, tell me, like, basically explain your job. And he was like, I can't do that. I would break confidentiality. And Elon goes, go for it. Like, I allow this, you know, unconfidentiality. And this guy's like explaining his job. And it's still like just the most demoralizing conversation between the one of the richest men in the world and the guy who was previously your boss, just like asking you to explain yourself and prove your worth in front of 100 million people. And it's entertaining to me because it's like, you would never expect that shit to happen. So like, whether it's moral or right or wrong or whatever, like it is entertainment, you know, for what it's worth. And so I tweeted a screenshot of the interaction. I said, I was like, wow, this is the most entertaining exit interview I've ever seen. And it blew up overnight. Elon responded, tried to explain, basically was like, here's why I let this guy go. And I'm like, you don't need to explain it to me. Like, I'm not trying to get into the middle of this, whatever the fuck's about to happen here. More has happened. You can go read the tweets. I don't want to get too deep into the details. We've got some incredible news stories today, but yeah, that's what happened overnight. And my notifications have been off all day with good reason.
Wow. So you did a tweet 7 hours ago that got 14,000 likes,
yeah,
and nearly a million views. But then you did 19 hours ago, your tweet got 13 million views.
It's wild.
49,000 likes and 4,600 retweets.
It's wild.
By the way, that is like 60% of the total views I get in a month for like the tweeting.
Look, I didn't expect it to blow up. I was just like, oh, this is a fucking wild exchange. I'm going to tweet about it as I always do. And I sort of take screenshots of things happening on Twitter. And the joke used to be, oh, I can't believe Twitter's free. You know, it's now $7.99 a month, but it's just crazy. Like, there's no other social media network where you would see just that interaction happened between one of the most well-known people in the world, richest people in the world, and CEO of Twitter, and an ex-Twitter employee. No other platform.
Who's kind of unsure that he's still working there. Like, it's just, it's fascinating. It's totally fascinating. So tell me, how has this changed your life?
I'm exhausted today. So listeners, I hope I bring the energy that you always expect out of me. I unfortunately no longer have a Peloton. And so that means I can't just like take out all the stress on a spin bike midday anymore.
It's just fascinating. Well, congratulations or condolences. I'm sure that's great or terrible for you.
I don't even know at this point. I don't know at this point. My favorite thing, I'll point this out and then we can get into the episode, is like in my bio, if you remember a few months ago, I tweeted, oh, I was just laid off from Twitter. I was in charge of badge access. Elon just called me to let him back in. And it went super viral. People thought I actually like ran badge access at Twitter. I had reporters hitting up my DM saying like, I'd like to do a story on this. Can't believe Elon and his crew locked himself out. So now in my bio, I've had previously director of badge access at Twitter. And now all the replies to these tweets of like angry trolls are saying like, you used to work at Twitter running badge access and you're going to talk to your former boss like that. And it's incredible how long just the parody keeps going and people will believe anything they see on the internet. So that's currently in my bio. My real job is not there. I was previously director of badge access at Twitter. And now I run a podcast with you.
What's funny about this is like, this is a big deal on Twitter, but like in real life, this is a big nothing burger. Like it's just a bit, and I don't know if nothing burger, am I allowed to say nothing burger anymore? Is that like politically charged?
Oh,
but I talked to you. Well, okay. So now that you know, you're in the 100,000 follower club, there's a special club. Like it turns out we take each other calls and I've had a couple calls with, you know, hey, introductory calls with other big, big creators on Twitter. And one of them commented yesterday, and I was like, this is really astute. He goes, you know what I like about Twitter? I like that it's a totally different world. Like, things that are a big deal there, in the real world, they're a big nothing. Like, you go into this person's town and like nobody has any clue. Nobody even knows he's like big on Twitter. And he says it's kind of nice. You know, you just go back to the real world. And
it's like that. So anyway, meme.
Like,
it's that meme where the guy's standing in the corner at a party holding a cup and there's people dancing. And it's just like, oh, they don't even know that I'm famous on the internet.
Nobody knows I'm famous on the internet. Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds great for you or terrible for you. I'm sorry for it happened, or congratulations, one of the two.
Not sure. We'll find out. Give me a week and then I can reflect on this, this 24 hours.
Well, as you know, I talked to one of my buddies about our podcast, and he's like, you need to bring more original content. So we just went straight to it. We just brought some original content today, which is your life got ruined today by Twitter.
No, my life is great. I've got the most impressions. I actually plugged my SaaS company at the bottom of that thread. I was like, well, while you're here, you might as well check out my new SaaS startup. And it got a bunch of waitlist subscribers. So works great for me. I'm in the crosshairs, but luckily I don't think it impacts my day-to-day life right now.
I mean, it does impact what's going on Twitter does impact my daily life. Now, this is going to be the most lamest content creator like thing ever. But the thing that I've been trying to analyze, like, what's going wrong with Twitter, and this call I had with this big creator yesterday crystallized it for me. And he said, I used to create for Twitter thinking that people would like consume stuff there and that would get it more spread. And it was like a great platform for me to own. And he's like, 6 weeks ago, I changed everything. The only stuff I create for Twitter now is just a teaser to get you to sign up for my newsletter. And that way I know I will never lose you as an audience. And I'm like, oh, like this, you know, this is not the Twitter that I think everybody wants to be part of, which is just like, hey, here's LinkedIn, sign up for my newsletter. And frankly, like, I've started doing it too, which is just like, hey, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to communicate with you unless I send you an email. And it's kind of a bummer.
I mean, look, at this point, if the ship's going down, I'm going down with the ship. I'm not on any newsletters or other social media platforms. I'm not on Mastodon, if anyone actually still uses that product. I mean, I'm on Twitter. You follow me on Twitter. That's great. If Twitter goes down and we all go with it, then like, I'm going to lose an audience. And it is what it is. I go back to living in the real world and breathing fresh air. So
your trash posting will be you photocopying pictures of raccoons saying lost cat and putting it on the
on Instagram,
putting it on the light poles.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll go into real life social media posting. All right. We're 8 minutes in. What do you want to talk about first? There's a lot that's happened this week.
It's been a great week for news. Can I talk about this? US prepares new rules on investment in China.
Yeah, we should, because there's a lot of stuff going down with China right now.
The Biden administration preparing a new program that could prohibit U.S. investment in certain sectors in China, a new step to guard U.S. technology advantages during a growing competition between the two world's largest economies. In reports to lawmakers Friday on Capitol Hill, the Treasury and Commerce Department said they were considering a new regulatory system to address U.S. investment in advanced technologies abroad that could pose national security risks, according to copies of the reports viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Like, yes, we absolutely needed to do this 25 years ago, like in the Clinton administration. Like, do you know how much stuff is just like blatantly stolen from the US and is being built over there with no protections whatsoever and no access to their markets?
All
like 100%. Like, thank you, government. Where were you in 1999, not 2003?
The number of stories I've heard about people getting their patents stolen or ripped off or just blatantly copied by Chinese factories, and there's nothing you can do. They're being produced in China. They're being imported back into the US, and like, it is what it is. So it's good. I guess we're finally addressing it 25 years later, but sign of the times that China right now. I mean, there's a lot going on with China. Like, I messaged you my predictions of what's going to happen later this year. We can talk about that if that actually happens. I don't want
to. Why don't you go ahead and say that? Because it's kind of inflammatory. I think it'll make good content.
Right now, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on, and I'm sorry to everyone who has to bear with me for a second. But like, there is probably a real chance that China attacks the U.S. at some point by Q4 or Q1 of 2024. And the reason being is like, they're going to invade Taiwan. They need more semiconductor and chip resources. We're already limiting supply. We moved a lot of the production out of China. And so when they invade Taiwan, we're an ally of Taiwan. And there's a real chance that I think we end up in a not fun situation with China. Now, I don't know what that means in terms of like long-term ramifications. I don't think anyone actually wants to go to war, but you never know. Like, this shit happens all the time. somehow it's crazy old white dudes in politics and office who get to make these decisions for the rest of the rest of their population. So that is the current tinfoil hat conspiracy, you know, prediction of what's going to happen in the next year or so.
I don't think so.
I hope not. I hope not. I hope you are right. I hope I'm really wrong. I hope my friends are wrong. The last thing I want is for us to be at war with anyone.
I think that the CCP has a lot of their children living in the West, in Canada, in the United States, and the last thing they want to do is mess with the land of the free and the home of the brave. Like, I think it's the McDonald's thing all over again. Like, I don't think they're going to be the first two countries with McDonald's. You've heard of the McDonald's thing? Are you familiar with that idea?
Mm-mm.
So it's this thesis that no two countries with both having McDonald's have ever gone to war.
Hmm.
So the idea is kind of dorky, but it's indicative of something important, which is once capitalism gets into your society and trade happens, there are a lot of people in capitalistic societies, especially, you know, democratic capitalist societies, that are very against war. You know why I'm very against war with China? Because I buy a lot of stuff from China. That's why. And yeah. I imported it and feeds my family. I am anti that. And the second we get into a war, I'm going to be pissed at the Chinese and I'm going to be pissed at our government. And some stuff's going down. So,
because you can't buy cheap stuff anymore.
It's not the whole,
you know, like mass casualties and nukes. It's like, I can no longer buy this thing for $5 that I used to import. It's actually going to cost me $30 and I am pissed. Why are we at war?
My wish.com account is suspended because we went to war with China. This shall not stand. So anyway, I think there's too much commerce there for that to happen.
I hope so. You know, it's interesting though, because like one of the topics that we're going to discuss and we can get into it is like China is going to have some serious economic problems soon. I mean, they're already restricting people from withdrawing their money out of the country. And so one of the highlights of today is I can't get my money out. Billionaire investor Mark Mobius says China is restricting flows of capital out of the country. And so he told Fox Business Mornings with Maria, according to Markets Insider, that he couldn't pull investment funds from his account in Shanghai. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe commerce slows down as you start to see these sorts of things happen. Like, why would a company want to do business in China if there is the real risk that they can't actually get their funds out? Like, if you're an individual investor, if you are a large corporation that has factories there, business there, and you're sending billions of dollars over to them, and now there's a risk that you can't withdraw those funds, what does that mean in terms of the whole commerce discussion that we just had? That might shrink. We might look for other places to produce all the things that we were previously importing from China, you know, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Southeast Asia, India. And so I think China is going to have some really serious problems over the next year. And we're already seeing some of the trickle effects of that, which is like people can't get their money out of China. That is bad. When a country is not letting you withdraw funds, there's a real serious problem under the hood. And I'm not in any way like an international affairs or economics expert, but that seems pretty bad to me.
That's why we talk about it on a podcast.
Yes, that's what podcasts are for. Talking about stuff that you don't know what's going on.
How can you make new friends? How do you build your network to help you launch a company? My name is Nick Gray, and I wrote a book called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party. It has over 325 five-star reviews on Amazon, and it was one of the best new books of 2022. I'm a listener to this podcast, and I've also hosted hundreds of parties. And I found that the best way to authentically grow my network was by hosting an easy gathering. Doesn't even have to be about alcohol. I don't drink, but cocktail party is a lightweight format for gathering people. Check out my book. It's called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party. Satisfaction guarantee that it's packed with value.
Have you seen this guy? He's gotten big on YouTube recently since he was on Joe Rogan, this Peter Zion guy. Mm-hmm. He was in Austin for a while. Now he's in Colorado. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah. Little bit.
If you haven't seen him, it's Zeihan, Peter Zion. And he records these like YouTube videos of him with his phone, like just standing in random fields. And he travels all over the place and he calls himself like a freelance geopolitical strategist.
Hmm.
And so he does all these like, imagine Jordan Peterson, but instead of telling you to make the bed, he diagnoses like China's population bomb and like gives you a speech on it over 5 minutes as a soliloquy. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And so his stuff that he has, which by the way, I'll give you some context on it, but his stuff, he talks about China's big problem is the reverberation of the 1980s and before, when Mao came in and like changed everything. And then they went to one child policies. It's created this terrible, like, you know, like age distribution curve where they don't have young people to work anymore like they need them to be. And it's creating, you know, now you're seeing what you're seeing, which is that plus urbanization means their population is shrinking, which to me, like, I first started going to China for business back in the mid 2000s. So like 2005, 2008. And like, I would see like young people around. And the last time I went was 2017. All I saw was old people working. Yeah. Like, it is like, oh, this is a problem. Like, what are you going to do about this? So anyway, definitely encourage you to check out this Peter Zhang guy. But here's the caveat. I took his stuff after he was on Joe Rogan. I took his stuff and I watched some videos and I sent the videos to three different people about three different topics who knew and were experts about those topics. Uh-huh. One was oil, one was crypto, and one was Canada. And I sent them each the videos and they're all like, this guy's full of shit. So it was perfect. I was like, he's 0 for 3, but it's entertaining. It's entertaining to say the least. So I don't know if he's, you know,
that's gonna
totally
happen.
Crazy.
That's going to happen after this episode is like, someone's going to take our clips and send it to their three favorite experts and be like, Alex was wrong about this. Michael was wrong about this thing. And we're just, we're going to be those clips being shared around after this.
What the hell are you talking about? I've given no opinions whatsoever.
No, it's just me. I'm sorry. I'm implicating you alongside of my terrible opinions.
You're the one doing the Glenn Beck stuff here. Give me a break. You're like the Glenn Beck of Twitter.
Can we move to something that I know a lot about, which is Ozempic?
Okay, can we? Oh, yeah. Didn't we talk about the fat loss thing last week? But, didn't I scold you enough on that?
You did, but I think it's really interesting. Weight Watchers is jumping into the Ozempic business. And so it was recently announced that Weight Watchers International, you know, the company that's famous for the whole pointing system and dieting, and they've been really successful. They just acquired a company called Sequence. It's a telehealth subscription service that connects patients with doctors who can prescribe weight loss and diabetic drugs, including, drumroll, the hot new diabetes drug, Ozempic. And so now, as a part of your Weight Watchers subscription, if you are wanting to purchase Ozempic, you can go buy it from Weight Watchers. And this, to me, is a huge shift in the world of weight loss. Like, when you think about Weight Watchers, is probably like the tier one biggest brand associated with weight loss. And now they're getting into, I don't know if they've done it before with other weight loss medications, but like they're getting into weight loss medications as a service. That's huge. That means every single person who is overweight is going to be addicted to Ozempic in the next 5 years because they're going to be served it by Weight Watchers alongside their calorie counting. So I think this is a fascinating story. I think we're starting to see more companies move into pharmaceuticals like Weight Watchers. And it'll be really interesting to see if this is successful for them. It's a $99 a month subscription plan. And then the doctors can prescribe the drugs, the GLP-1s, Ozempic, to help curb hunger, speed up metabolism, and help people lose weight. What do you think, as the fit person on this podcast who eats salads and rides bikes?
Eat some salads. Seriously, like, I think most people, like, you are a capable person who has the ability to make the time and the thought and all that stuff to eat well. Most of the people who are going to be paying $99 a month for Ozempic or whatever, like, add that to your food budget and like eat better.
You know who, like, you know who took Ozempic? Like, someone very famous that has claimed that Ozempic has helped them lose weight. Guess who the person is?
Jared from Subway.
No, fuck that guy. Someone more interesting than Jared from Subway.
Elon Musk.
That is correct.
Why does it always come back to Elon?
I don't know, but he said that he used Ozempic to lose weight. It's actually gained a lot of popularity because of celebrities and famous people like Elon and others in Hollywood who have used Ozempic to lose weight. So yes, like, are you going to go tell Elon to eat a salad instead of...
Yes.
Fair.
Look, the guy terminated publicly on via Twitter, some guy who's clearly disabled and can barely type, but is very talented, and then talked to you about it in front of the guy on Twitter and everybody else. He could take a little feedback that he just needs to eat some GD Vegetables. That's what I got to say.
I wonder, we're going to see in a study in 5 years that Ozempic leads to anger management.
Oh, and I'm like the angriest one?
No, look, Elon.
Here's the thing. In nature, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I've said this every single time. Like, either you work for
$99
it,
a month through Weight Watchers now.
That sounds like a free lunch to me. Okay, let's keep moving. What else you got here besides scammy weight loss drugs?
Well, you can now live on a cruise ship for $30,000 per year and work remotely, which I think is super cool. If I didn't have a kid and a wife and a dog, I would probably do it. So there's a lot of ifs involved in that statement. But basically, there's a cruise line that's now offering a 3-year, 130,000-mile escape your daily life cruise for a relatively affordable $30,000 per person per year. It's called Life at Sea Cruises. It's open bookings for its 3-year voyage on the MV Gemini, and it sets sail from Istanbul on November 1st. So if you're a remote worker and you don't work for Disney or Netflix or Tesla, and you're not being asked to come back to the office, you can enjoy sailing around the world for 3 years for a total price of $90,000. You will see 375 ports, 208 of which will be overnight stops. And there's high-speed Wi-Fi. All your meals are included. Your room is included. Activities are included. You have a pool. You have a gym. That sounds pretty fucking cool to me, if you ask me. Like, I would totally, I don't know about 3 years. That's a long time. I think I would absolutely try working remotely on a cruise for 6 to 12 months.
So does this seem novel to you, or does this seem like a new innovation?
Now with high speed internet available on cruises, like Starlink on cruises, it seems plausible for the first time.
So this kind of thing, like this has been around for a while.
Yeah, for old people.
And I think anyway, I was just going to turn this into a testament. This is what, when you spend $1 million on PR, can do for you. Like, I just looked at these articles. I'm like, oh, they all look the same. And they're all placed in CNN and USA Today and all that kind of stuff. And people read them and they think this is new. But people have been doing this for decades. Like, you can do this. You could buy condos on these ships and retire for a while if you want to.
I know that. However, like, traditionally, that's for people who are retired and they want to go sail the world and they don't want any.
This sounds like retirement to me.
This is retirement for remote
sounds
workers.
Like a lot of no work.
Where you can, like, sit in a hot tub and take your calls all day while you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and you have high-speed internet and a co-working space and all the amenities that you need for remote work. Like, that, I'm surprised this isn't Adam Newman's new startup, like Flow. This is the perfect name for a cruise at sea for 3 years. Like, Flow, come with me. We're going to build a community on this cruise. Adam's going to lead the nightly meditation and yoga sessions. Like, this would have been perfect.
Dude, I just pulled up the ship called from Life at Sea Cruises, and it is very small. That is a small boat.
Yeah, it's like 1,000 people. It's like a fifth of the size of a Royal Caribbean. But yeah, because you're not going to, do you think you'd get 5,000 people to buy 3-year expeditions on a cruise?
Look, as long as they sell salads there, I'm cool with it.
They don't sell, you just get them. It's included. It's all inclusive. You get all the salad buffet you want.
Oh, awful. Right. I wonder what kind of drink package you get. Actually, if you're really interested, a fun corner of YouTube is one I guarantee you haven't gone to, which is Cruise Aficionado YouTube. I highly recommend it. There's these ladies and men who just, all they do is review cruises and then write YouTube videos about them.
Are they good?
Highly recommend it.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. Some of the English ones are actually quite hilarious.
I have a friend who told me about a couple of weeks ago, actually, where I got back from a cruise. He was telling me he loves cruises. Every year or two, he books a transatlantic or transpacific cruise, and he goes fully offline for 2 weeks, and he just reads and he works out and he eats healthy at the salad bar for like 2 weeks, going from either like New York to Spain or California to Japan or wherever it takes you if you go that way. And so I thought that, I was like, I've never heard of anyone doing, he's like, I get a book done a day. I just read the entire day. I sit by the pool. I meditate. And I was like, huh, that's like actually an interesting cruise experience, when all my cruise experience have just been benders. Just 3-day benders.
I like cruises too. They get kind of boring.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think we have time for any more stories. I mean, I did have this one about Amazon's whole HQ thing not happening anymore. Really seems kind of boring now.
Yeah. More layoffs at Meta. Per usual.
Pretty standard stuff.
Meta's going hard on AI.
How long until you think Elon invites you in to consider a job at Twitter?
2.5 weeks.
Okay. I will take the over. I think it's somewhere around a month from now.
Okay.
But I think he's going to see something in your eyes. I think he's going to be like, this Cohen guy, he's in for it. He does the chicken in the pot thing. I think he could do it for me.
He'd have to move the HQ back to Austin. He'd have to get out of SF, terminate that lease. Got to open.
He'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, I don't want to go back to SF.
He'll buy you a gold-plated golf cart.
No, by the way, I got a golf cart. That's super exciting news. Did you see it on Twitter? It's bright purple.
Does it have an Ozempic dispenser as part of it, or did you have to pay extra for that?
Now, that's a startup idea. We come to you on golf carts and inject you with Ozempic for a monthly subscription.
All right. And then the last question I have for you before we wrap it up, because we're keeping this one under 30.
Yep.
Out of our folks that did the audition videos, who do you think we should bring on the show for a trial? There's the one guy who did like the production video. Did you see that?
It was very elaborate. Eric?
He did like the meta day of life, day in the life thing.
It was great.
It was like, whoa.
It was great. Yeah, I think, who are we getting next? Turner on the podcast?
Turner's coming
Thursday.
Next week or this week after?
I thought he was coming this Thursday.
Oh, he's coming Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, for everyone who's listening, we are probably going to switch to a 2-time-a-week podcast where we do shorter episodes, 20 to 25 minutes. We have 4 hosts that rotate in and out depending on the week. We try to cover the most interesting news stories that happened in the 2 to 3 days prior.
Sometimes we do a good job of it. Not like today.
I don't know. Today, we'll see if people like this one or not. But 2-times-a-week episodes, make it a little bit shorter for your commute. You get to listen to us speak more wrong opinions more often. So it'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. And here, I want to tell you about something.
Okay.
So I have started a Twitter account that I'm basically growing from zero. And I'm doing it to promote one of my businesses.
Mm.
So I will challenge you between now and Thursday to figure out which one it is. It's pretty easy because I keep making jokes at Josh with it.
Yeah. So only flans.
It's called only planes. It talks about planes flown by scantily dressed people. But yeah, no, and it's really fun. Like, it feels like being back in the old days of Twitter.
Yeah.
When like I didn't have to like stick to my lane so much.
Mm.
And I could just be like irreverent and then only talk about a topic I'm really interested in. So anyway, I'm sure you may figure it out before we click stop, but
okay.
We can go from there.
Well, so. Next week on Thursday, I want to debate crumble cookies with you. I fucking love crumbles. And I saw your tweet. It made me sad to see the replies there. I really hope crumble sticks around for the long term, but we should debate it. I feel like that'd be a good topic to debate.
I think it's a good thing to talk through for sure. I have a thesis that there is a divergence in retail. You either are differentiated enough in terms of your product to find permanent differentiation there, or you go down the... you go down the path of where I'm scared they're going, which is totally undifferentiated.
Mm.
So we will get there on Thursday, which sounds good. So thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed this, 5 stars, make sure you spell the name correctly. It's Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, in your review for your complaints. And then we'll see you next week. Or no, see you later this week.
See you this week.
So, bye.